Let me throw out various topics. Tell me, James, if you came across any of Edgar's predictions, okay?
Okay.
And also, wide open, so if there's things you think we need to talk about, you just jump
in.
Oh,
I would love to. I've just checked a couple things while we're on break related to Casey's readings on life and space, which are pretty exciting.
Okay, well, all right, let's start with that.
Okay. George, I just opened my book to that chapter, Life Elsewhere in the Universe, and the two famous readings I mentioned, these are the ones that are so often, when people ask about Casey's stance on life and space, that are quoted. He was asked, question, are any of the planets other than the Earth inhabited by human beings or animal life of any kind? He said no. And the other reading is, upon what planets other than the Earth does human life exist? And he said, none is human life in the Earth. Anyway, again, this goes back to my comment, although he was aware of other worlds, basically he was dealing with the solar system, and the people that asked these questions were concerned with the solar system.
So he's pretty specific. He doesn't elaborate. If you say, tell us about this life, and people are talking about the solar system, he'll stay to that. He won't say,
right,
I know that there are 9 million planets out there, and they all have people just like us. He won't say that, or does he?
He actually does, George. In another reading, it's 541-1. Again, that's the person he did the reading for, reading number one for that person. But these are places of abode. As in the Earth, we find the elements are peopled, as the Earth has its own moon or satellites and joined in its environment, so it is with other planets. In another reading, 281-16, man may become, get this, with the people of the universe, ruler of any of the various spheres through which the soul passes. And George, the one that I find very electrifying for the folks that are Christians among your listeners is in the section called A Cosmic Christ. Listen to this one, reading 262-71. Not the Christ, but his messenger, with the Christ in the beginning, and is to other worlds what the Christ is to this earth. And it goes on and on. It's just the implications are profound that we're living in a biocosmos, and Casey surely knew this.
He was right on the button on a
lot
of
this
stuff, wasn't he?
Yes.
I want to ask you, too, about some earth changes. I'm going to bring that up because of the Casey map, which is pretty frightening about what North America will look like one day. Some people say it's never going to happen. I'm not so sure. They talk about rising sea levels. Who knows what's going to happen?
You know, George, that is a fact, and you're aware of this, but Tony Blair, the retiring Prime Minister of Britain.
Who I just saw, by the way, Sunday night here in Los Angeles.
Oh, wonderful.
He came out of a limousine, with Uzi guys all around him. Small world.
Well, his science advisors have told him that the coastline maps of Great Britain, and I would assume the rest of the world because we're all affected by rising sea levels, in case he talked about this, the coastline maps of Great Britain are going to have to be redrawn within 10 years. Okay. 10 years because of the rising sea level. So the earth changes are happening. They absolutely are. And the classic book is John White's Pole Shift, P-O-L-E-S-H-I-F-T, which amasses the evidence, everything from Native American prophecies and so on to the latest studies in orbit from satellites, geophysics, and things like that.
Okay,
so,
even though we're going to talk a little bit about the cosmos, a lot about the cosmos, I still want to ask you about some of these other Edgar Casey stories as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hollow records, I mean, did you look into any of that?
Not in researching this book, because I'd already done that, a tremendous fascination with Egypt. And in fact, it just reminds me of something else, George, which is pretty mind-blowing. But yes, the Hall of Records, it exists. Casey said it's under the one paw of the Sphinx. And I've been following with great interest. A lot of your listeners have. John Van Alken, one of the executive directors of the ARE, has taken many tours there to Egypt and stood in the shadow of the Sphinx. And the latest I have heard is, I mean, it's definitely there.
Something's down there.
Yeah,
something's down there.
Yes, through sonic imaging. Not only is there a cavity there, but through the sonic imaging, they're seeing spheres, what appear to be spheres and cylinders and other geometric shapes. Now, maybe this is what the information is recorded on the Hall of Records, but there's definitely something in there. And as I understand it, the Egyptian government is reluctant to let anybody start digging there or have entrance. But according to Edgar Casey, the man who will open the Hall of Records is alive and among us today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it should be imminent.
Is it Zahi Hawass?
That's what I thought. And
I don't think he'd tell us, Jim. I don't think he'd tell us.
Yes, he's lectured at the ARE on quite a number of occasions also. And, yes, but the Edgar Cayce was quite specific. It will be, he's hit alive, and he will open the Hall of Records, so whoever this person is.
Let's talk about Atlantis for a moment.
Wow.
What did he say?
Well, no doubt that they, such a place existed, and he talked about Atlantis and Mu and other ancient civilizations. And George, one of the things that is not in my book for a number of for specific reason, but in Atlantis, one of the readings talks about a dome which opened and closed. And to me, as an astronomer, it sure sounded like a telescope dome.
Yes,
okay?
An observatory.
An observatory, exactly. And or it could have been
missile silo.
Exactly, missile silo or a port, a place where ships, and he talked a lot about
came
airships
and
that,
yeah.
Came and went. But you talked about the energy, the crystals there, and the evidence that such a civilization exists, I think, is pretty overwhelming. And you mentioned earlier about ancient civilizations. It seems like the further back you go in some respects, the more advanced they become. And, George, if I may for a minute go back to to Egypt and the Hall of Records and the pyramids, in one of my astronomy courses, this is an engineer from Egypt who was taking an enrichment course in astronomy, told me, and he's a native Egyptian, he was in this country just studying, that most people don't know about this, he said. Well, they do know that the pyramids had a glass face on them, okay, and that's all been removed, that they actually were glassy-looking and shined and from the reflectivity mm-hmm. off them. But he said if you stood in the sand and looked along the edge of the pyramids when they were in their pristine condition, 700 and some feet, whatever it is, the Great Pyramid, if you looked along the edge, because of the temperature inversion with the sand and the air, the pyramids would bulge out, okay? Somebody, whoever built the pyramids, get this, bowed them in by 3.5 minutes of arc. That's the resolving power of the human eye, so that when you stood there at that time, they looked straight. Now, you tell me primitives knew that and did that.